Hi everyone. So here we are back again for the last presentation before lunch. What are some of the things that are happening in the CFA? The person-centered emergency preparedness framework is being used to inform the Preparing Vulnerable People project at the CFA. The resources that have been developed as a part of the project recognise that people with disability are in their best position to plan for their own safety in the event of a bushfire because they know what they are able to do for themselves and what assistance is needed before, during and after an emergency. Angela Cook will share the details of the project, the current resources available and the plan for trialling the approach over the coming bushfire season. Angela will introduce a person with lived experience, Tony, who will join for the presentation. So make sure you keep those questions coming in the Q&A section of Zoom. Please welcome Angela Cook.
Hi, everyone. First up, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Tunnerong people where I live, and pay my respect to elders, past, present, and future. And also pay my respect to Aboriginal science, culture, and land management practices for which we still have so much to learn from. So it's great to be here today as part of the forum, sharing with you a project CFA is working on. And we're working on that with other organisations and agencies as well. And of course, it's been great to hear from Michelle about the importance of a person-centred approach and an inclusive approach. I've been working at CFA headquarters in community engagement for the past 14 years. Actually, when I was younger, I wanted to be a human rights lawyer for Amnesty International, but the reality of studying law did not actually suit my strengths or my patience. And really, when it came down to it, I just wanted to help people and help people to help themselves. So CFA suits my values and desire to work with community in a positive way, to build community resilience and individual resilience, and to improve safety. So I'm currently the project manager for the Preparing Vulnerable People project. And today I thought I would share with you a story. And this story, it forms the foundations of the house, I suppose you could call it the house we are building with this current project. And at the time, back in 2018, I was working as the Senior Engagement Advisor for CFA, the Country Fire Authority, in charge of program inclusiveness. And the CFA Chief Officer asked me for some assistance with a response to a letter he had received. The letter received almost exactly 2 years ago in September 2018, and it was from Tony. Tony explained in the letter her circumstances. She has MS, multiple sclerosis, and needs assistance to move about. She described it to me in a later conversation as having a broken body or being broken. In the letter, she described her concerns about bushfire and wanted advice on preparation as she felt she could not leave. I contacted Tony to understand more about her situation. The conversation with Tony over the phone got the cogs turning in my head. How can we at CFA help people like Tony? And what does Tony need so she can help herself? At the time, I was on a working group with DHHS reviewing the Vulnerable Persons in Emergency policy. I had coordinated a submission from CFA about the policy as part of the review process. We were concerned at CFA about the register and what seemed to be a focus on evacuation for people on the register. We are concerned as fast-running grass fires and bushfires don't usually allow for evacuation. And this extended to other concerns about what if there were many people to evacuate? And what if these people needed specialised equipment or to be moved and transported? How is that going to work? And where was the focus on preparedness planning before an emergency, and in my case, before a bushfire emergency? And now I understand we are not alone in harbouring these concerns. Other individuals, agencies, and organisations have similar concerns. And at the same time, I also thought about and still think about CFA's message to leave early. Here's our advice. On the left is actually very small to see. That's a screenshot from one of our publications, which is titled Your Guide to Survival, one of our key bushfire safety publications. But I've highlighted a little red box. So basically, CFA advises that the safest option is to leave early on a code red, extreme and severe day. We also state that if you care for children, are older or have a disability, you must leave early. Sounds simple enough. But what if you can't leave? What if you need a lot of support and equipment to leave? What if you can't access transport to leave? What if leaving your house on an extremely hot day could cause more of a risk to your health due to the heat? And what if all of this is really scary and frightening for you? I spoke to Tony again, and CFA organised a free property assessment in November 2018. This was to provide advice about reducing the risk of a bushfire impacting on the house and provide ideas for improving preparations. I think I recall things like moving the hay bales away from the house and removing shrubs close to windows. This is a free service that CFA provides, and it becomes even more important if the resident feels that they may be unable to leave or that there are many challenges and barriers to overcome to enable them to leave their home. If they're going to be there over summer, then they need to have a well-prepared property. So I felt that yes, CFA could assist with bushfire safety advice and help residents who have a disability, chronic medical condition or are older, but I also felt like we could do a lot more. I had some thinking and researching to do. To start with, Tony and I co-wrote a case study about her story. This was completed after consultation with a local MS group that Tony is involved with and us at CFA. And we can circulate this afterwards. But what the case study did is put a voice and a person behind my concerns. It highlighted the complexities behind Tony's situation. She did not have, at the time, accessible transport. She could not find a suitable place to relocate to, even though she had tried. For example, they tried the local shopping centre, who said they did not want to take responsibility for any of Tony's equipment. So Tony herself had come up with her own plans: stay in the pantry and hope for the best, or contact a friend up the road with a horse float who could move her wheelchair and hoist. Neither were great plans in CFA's eyes. But an ideal plan to move Tony on high-risk days takes considered planning and resources. I'd just like to share with you the summary from the end of the case study. People unable to respond in an emergency will be living in areas prone to disaster. They will be in their own home, utilising often in-home care support. And we need to understand this could be a growing concern across the state. And although carers and individuals are doing their very best to relocate on high-risk days, it is likely this will not be possible in all situations, as highlighted by this case study. CFA can help provide fire safety advice to improve property preparedness for bushfire, for people who may be unable to leave their homes due to physical or cognitive limitations and conditions. However, it is still up to the property owner to put these measures in place and to keep them in place. In Tony's case, she has implemented the recommendations of CFA, which in turn alleviated some of the fear Tony feels over summer. CFA also has a specially designed program aimed at educating carers and support workers about bushfire safety. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Although this is up to individuals and care agencies to adapt, to adopt, and is not compulsory training for NDIS organisations and so forth. Advocating for greater uptake of this program and a greater focus on emergency planning is something CFA should strongly support. So that's how we ended the case study. Then in August 2019, I wrote a paper to the CFA Executive Manager of Community Safety outlining my concerns for people at greatest risk and my suggestions for some solutions. I paired it with this case study. And what do you think happened? Apart from having a desk that looks a bit like this desk in the picture, it's much better now actually, but it was piled up with research papers and reports and policy review documents. So apart from a messy desk, what actually happened? Well, the paper's recommendations were accepted as a priority to CFA Community Safety, and funding was sought to turn the paper's recommendations into a reality. So in September 2019, I got the green light to go ahead and write a project plan for a three-year funded project, finishing in June 2022. The Preparing Vulnerable People, or PVP, project was born. The project has two overarching objectives. So the first one, you can see on your screen here, to build the capability of the health sector, or part of the health sector, and community and social services sector to support their clients at greatest risk with bushfire planning. And then the second objective, to target delivery of CFA fire prevention and preparedness services to people at greatest risk alongside local service providers and local government. The good thing news is, really good news, is we're not doing this alone. So we've put together a statewide stakeholder reference group to help guide and advise the project. It is super helpful as it brings together the emergency management sector, what I call the EM sector, and some of the community and social services sector to have some really important conversations. So you can see here up on the slide all the logos of the organisations involved, like Red Cross, VCOS, National Disability Services, NDIA, and Disability Resource Centre as an advocacy group. And then I also have an internal CFA working group, the worker bees, behind the scenes, doing all the work in the background. So the building capability arm of the project focuses on CFA's Fire Ready for Community Service Providers program. It's a bit of a mouthful. That's the title of the program. And this program recognises that community and social service organisations are often in the best position to have conversations with their client, or in the case of NDIS and managing your a package yourself, to their employer about bushfire risk. So CFA just wants to help arm people in the sector with the information and skills they will need. The revised program will be launched in 2 weeks' time on the 11th of September. The program consists of two sessions or modules. One focuses on the safety of the worker and the other on the safety of their client or patient. Each session runs for 45 minutes, either through accessing an e-learning module or a CFA face-to-face session, which would, in normal circumstances, delivered face-to-face, but at the moment we can do that online as well. CFA has actually been delivering this program for over 10 years. However, the PVP project, this current Preparing Vulnerable People project, has allowed a much-needed facelift. The new e-learning module gives organisations and workers more flexibility to complete it individually and at a time that works for them. And the development and testing of it involved a whole host of end users. Importantly, the revised program uses the person-centred emergency preparedness, or PCEP, framework and recognises that people's levels of preparedness can differ, and this can affect how they understand and how they plan for bushfire. The new e-learning module and resources aims to put conversations at the heart of bushfire planning. So here on the screen, you can see some of the new resources, both the title screen for our new e-learning module, Bushfire Planning and How to Support Your Clients. But we've also invested in a new guide for community workers to support all the learning from the new online module. The guide has a section about the importance of person-centered conversations. And we worked with Michelle Villeneuve on this. Thanks, Michelle. There is also a new bushfire planning template for individuals, and it has been converted into a large print version thanks to Vision Australia, and it will also be available up on the CFA website from the 11th of September with the other resources. Now here you can see question 5 in the template asking about how you will get to your destination when you leave. Now Tony's circumstances have taught me that organising transport can be challenging for someone who needs an accessible vehicle or who has specialised equipment to move. I understand now that a car is not something funded through NDIS, unless this has changed lately. So this is an area that needs some pre-planning and perhaps a local solution, and one that is not cost prohibitive for the individual. And of course, there is a question of, well, where are you actually going to go? And finding accommodation that is suitable. This needs to be thought through and planned for. We're going to look at a short film next that hopefully highlights some of this to you. And this short film snippet captures some of the issues encountered last summer by Delwyn, a resident of Lakes Entrance, who was looking for somewhere to go. And it takes 2 minutes. So I'll see you in a minute.
I live alone and I'm disabled. When my nephew said that it was a good idea to go to the evacuation centre, I just hopped on my scooter and drove down there. They were unable to accommodate me because I can't walk. They had mattresses on the floor. I obviously couldn't get down to that, or if someone helped me down, I couldn't get up.
And so I came across Del, who... she was right here. She was unloaded from a maxi taxi in her electric wheelchair and was just sitting there in her chair and not knowing what to do and where to go. There were no motel rooms. There was nothing available. And so I thought I'll just try a bit further afield and rang an information line in Sale and got onto the Freemasons Homes in Sale and the woman there that said that she had a bed.
So these experiences, like Delwyn's and Tony's, they really help us at CFA to understand the planning requirements for people with a disability. This short film has actually been created for the new e-learning module to give a lived experience perspective because it is so important to understand. Okay, I'm going to move on now to the next objective of the project, which I mentioned earlier, which is the targeted service delivery directly from CFA, or what this title of this presentation is, person-centered risk assessment. This will centre around a property visit and direct engagement. That is, a CFA person, if you would like, will come to your house. And when I researched nationally what was best practice in assisting people with a disability to plan for emergencies, the PCEP framework kept coming up. And the more I read, the more I liked it. And we've already just heard about why that is from Michelle today. So at CFA, we already have trained facilitators that work in community engagement, but we will do some specific training to ensure they have the skills needed to have a person-centred conversation or conversations. The conversations they will have will focus on the capability wheel that Michelle introduced earlier. And as you can see, it is on this slide again, and it's taken from the PCEP framework. It will guide the conversation to focus on fire safety, both bushfire and house fire. CFA already delivers a property advice visit service, delivered to over 55,000 people since 2014. And those good at maths can work out an average per year. This program has recently had a full evaluation. The evaluation highlighted that the program is largely successful. I'm just going to have a drink so I don't cough. That's better. So we recently evaluated this program, and the evaluation highlighted that the program is largely successful. Individual property visits are well received and are resulting in the majority of people taking action. So now we want to combine the best parts of this program with our new program. So the existing program will then be mixed with more of an equal conversation style or a person-centered approach where the resident is recognised as an expert in their own lives. And we will purposely target people on the vulnerable persons register and also people at greatest risk who are not on the register. Of course, people can also self-refer themselves to the service once it is available. But the reason we want to ensure the people on the register have access to this program is because, well, the simple reason is they are listed there for a reason, and we know evacuation is not always going to work in the response phase. In fact, Tony once said to me something that will likely stick with me for a very long time. She said, "The reason for the vulnerable persons register is so police know where to find my body afterwards." This was one of those moments, you know, the ones that stop you in your tracks. And it made me think, what role can I play to make sure this is not what people think or what actually happens? And so we really need to focus on preparedness planning with this program. And given people will be at different stages of preparedness, we plan on doing a follow-up visit or phone call, or perhaps a few. We'll need to have a number of conversations. And we've had a great offer from Red Cross to assist with this program. Understandably, they are super busy at the moment with the response to COVID. So we will just be flexible to allow for co-delivery if possible, or sharing some follow-up with either CFA or Red Cross. And now we're just waiting for COVID-19 to settle down, so we can begin the trials of this approach in a few municipalities. The aim is to trial, monitor and evaluate this approach this financial year, so before the end of June. The trials will highlight what is needed for this to work on a larger scale. It will be a more complex program to coordinate and deliver than our current property advice visit program. CFA will need to work in locally with the municipality and local service providers. Brings to this approach is that we are community based already. We already sit on local council emergency management planning committees, and we can be flexible to tailor the approach to meet local needs and individuals. Once again, I think it's important to mention that this project has a statewide reference group. We're not going it alone. But do we have everybody that we need in the group? Probably not, but it's a pretty good start. And we've added and grown over the past 9 months. It has really helped me understand this sector and understand what is needed. And I also have a CFA working group that has CFA members with lived experience of a disability and a super project officer with industry experience. Understanding what people need who have lived experience of a disability is critical to the success of this project. This is why experience is super important to this project and to me. We want to be able to enact some positive change and focus on solutions. We need to understand how we can improve preparedness planning for people with a disability. Tony reminded me last week to recognise that we could wake up one day and our world could totally change with an unexpected diagnosis. This is what was Tony's experience. Going from a functional, happy existence as a psychologist, advising government and appearing in the Supreme Court, to an MS person, and then to a widow with MS who is often not even listened to. Her story and experience are a constant reminder and motivator for this project, and for that, I am very grateful. And because we are lucky enough to have Tony taking part today, I'm going to ask her a few questions before we move on to other questions.
All right.
Okay. Tony, we'll just start again for that first question. How would you describe the barriers to your bushfire safety plan, Tony?
There are quite a few barriers that you would never think of. But to start with, I would have to deal with the NDIS system, which is quite complex, and I'm not sure how it would work in a bushfire situation. So that's a major barrier. Then there's the barrier of having transport. So once we know that bushfire is looming, what am I going to do to get out of here? And then where will I go? Finding appropriate short-term accommodation is tough. It's not like just jumping in the car and going to any accommodation. The accommodation needs to be accessible. So not only do you need to get your wheelchair in there, but I need all of the equipment that would enable me to be somewhere else. Which brings me to the next idea of relief centres. They are quite overwhelming. So for somebody like me, where there is so much noise and hustle and bustle, and it can be quite frightening. And also, I need to take a support worker with me, which is tough during the bushfire season, because all of my support workers are living in the same environment. So if the fire is looming, who's to say that support workers will want to come with me? So that's a real barrier. And then on top of all of those, what on earth is going to happen with COVID-19? So I think that provides a good list of the barriers.
That does provide a really good list. And it's the first time we've brought in COVID to that bushfire, into COVID into fire as well, and that sort of the double whammy that means. And if our advice is to leave and go somewhere else, but going somewhere else could be unsafe because of COVID, I mean, that is just an extra layer. And for you, Tony, how would you describe your current bushfire plan?
Well, leaving early, as the advice often is very difficult to do. So realistically, I need to stay in my own home. It's set up for me. I've got all of my equipment here. So I don't need to worry about transporting everything to somewhere else, which is a big stressor. And also heat is a major issue for me, and many people with MS might agree that as soon as you introduce heat into the equation, all bets are off. So you really need to stay somewhere cool. And that led me to thinking, well, how on earth would I stay here if fire is looming? One of the first things that happens is you might lose your power. So then I purchased a generator. And the generator would allow me to stay here because I could charge up all of my equipment. So hoists, wheelchairs, everything. Yeah, really, it's all about just identifying what is it that you can control and working very hard to make sure that your support is around you, your equipment is around you and will be working. So that would sum up my bushfire plan at the moment.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. It really helps to understand what support you need to stay safe in a bushfire, what other people will need in similar situations. And I remember having a conversation with the now former chief officer of CFA, just saying to me, well, do you just need to get these people out? They just need to leave. And saying, well, it's more complex than that. It's harder. It's not as simple. I doubt CFA's message won't change. It'll likely remain the same. The safest option is to leave early. But I suppose what can we do to help people prepare more, to think about things like generators, like you have, so that you have the power you will need for your assistance equipment and things like that. So, and to understand, I suppose, what you can do, which is what you've shared with us. So thanks so much. Will there be any other questions? Because I'm aware we're running over time.
Can I just say I commend your bravery, Tony, for coming here today and sharing the story. I understand you've relived your trauma and there's nothing more painful than that. And we all need to collectively do better. We really, really do. People like you, people like me, everyone else who has a disability as well. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Angela, thank you for your presentation too. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but as I said at the start of the whole forum, we are going to be compiling a issues paper because we don't want the conversation to stop here. We want to make sure that action comes from this. So we will come back to you later on when we do our issues paper and with the questions from the audience as well. So it doesn't stop here. Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you, and a special thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, so now we'll go to a lunch break. Please enjoy the Danger Dome playlist compiled by Darius DJ Breaky. Crank it up loud and dance like no one's watching. Have fun and see you back at 1 o'clock.